From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A Colorado man has been indicted in New York on charges of conspiring to use weapons of mass destruction against the United States. The indictment was issued shortly before Afghan-born Najibullah Zazi appeared before a Denver judge today. Kirk Ziegler of member station KUNC reports from outside the federal courthouse in Denver.
Federal investigators say Najibullah Zazi, a resident of the Denver suburb of Aurora, on multiple occasions purchased materials necessary to produce bombs. He's alleged to have visited numerous beauty supply stores here throughout the summer, where he bought unusually high quantities of things like hydrogen peroxide. Court documents also say Zazi rented a hotel suite with a stove where he practiced making bombs. In court today, Zazi sat expressionless and didn't utter a word throughout the roughly hour-long hearing. He also didn't exchange glances with his father, Mohammed Zazi, who was seated a few seats away listening through a Pashtun interpreter. The elder Zazi was released on bail but still faces charges of making false statements to investigators. A hearing is set for next month in Denver. Najibullah Zazi has another hearing here Friday. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Ziegler in Denver.
Various world leaders are gathered in Pittsburgh for the two-day G20 economic summit, with discussions largely expected to center on how to best keep a global recovery on track while at the same time putting in place tighter restrictions aimed at preventing a repeat of last year's economic meltdown. It's the third meeting of G20 leaders since the start of what economists have labeled the worst recession since the Great Depression. Previous meetings were held in Washington and London. So with the economy in a somewhat weakened state, most analysts believe there's a way to go yet for a full recovery. Former Kennedy aide and former Democratic National Party chair Paul Kirk has been named Massachusetts' new U.S. Senator. Kirk will fill the seat of the late Senator Edward Kennedy until a special election is held in January. NPR's Tobias Smith has more.
The black velvet draped over Ted Kennedy's desk in the U.S. Senate could come off as soon as tomorrow as Paul Kirk takes his seat there. Kirk says he'll be a voice and a vote for Kennedy's causes. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick calls him the perfect caretaker for the seat.
There's a temptation at a time like this for anyone to make a statement, to make it about, you know, my moment, my vision. It's really not that. It's really about how we bridge to when the people get to choose their next senator.
The move is a boon for Democrats who may need the one extra vote to pass health care legislation, but Republicans blast the appointment as partisan games. Just 5 years ago, Democrats took away the governor's power to appoint a replacement, back when the governor was a Republican. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.
The real estate industry's main trade group says after four straight months of gains, sales of previously owned homes moved lower last month. National Association of Realtors says sales fell 2.7%, though compared to the same month a year ago, sales were actually up 3.4%. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 41 points. This is NPR. Fire crews in California have gone into what one official there describes as full attack mode as they seek to stop a wildfire from spreading further in a 25-square-mile area northwest of Los Angeles. The fire, which officials say is now 40% contained, broke out earlier this week just to the north of the city of Moore Park and then moved west through the hills. While triple-digit temperatures and low humidity have helped the blaze to spread, officials say the Santa Ana winds that have been fanning the flames have abated somewhat. There are around 1,800 firefighters battling the fire, along with 20 helicopters and a number of air tankers. President Obama has issued a federal disaster declaration for four Georgia counties flooded by torrential rains. At least 10 people died in the southeast, and some damage estimates top $250 million. Georgia Public Broadcasting's John Sepulveda reports.
All four counties are in the metro Atlanta region. Cleanup in those areas has been slow as workers have waited for waters to recede. The flooding seriously damaged Atlanta's wastewater treatment plant and destroyed at least 1,500 homes. Most major bridges and roadways have reopened, easing traffic in the metro Atlanta area. Governor Sonny Perdue is still looking for a federal disaster declaration for 13 other Georgia counties, including rural Chattooga County in the northwestern part of the state. There, floodwaters caused at least $2 million worth of damage to municipal buildings and destroyed about 150 homes. One official in the cash-strapped county says if it doesn't come, they'll have to swallow the costs and cut services elsewhere. That request for aid is still being reviewed by the White House. For NPR News, I'm John Sepulveda in Atlanta.
Crude oil futures fell more than $3 a barrel today, settling at $65.89 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.